You're listening to The Daily Digestionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Traditionalist. Today's date is the 20th of October 2016 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks. We are hoping that Matthew Heidmark might get here before the end of the programme. At the moment he's rushing back to the studio in his car. But we do have with us today his colleague Matt Parrott. How are you doing today, Matt?
I'm doing very well, and I hope the listeners will find it in their hearts to settle for me instead of Mr. Heidmark today. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm okay. I mean, I'm sure you'll do a good job. You always do when you're standing in. I mean, you're not really a stand-in. You're a guest host, the same as I'm a guest host. And Matt's Heidmark is really the main anchor of the show. But we do have like a roster of guest hosts, and I think everyone has something that they can bring to the table. I do find that each episode of the Daily Traditionalist is different to the last one, and today's episode is not going to be any change from that. Today we're going to be discussing the debate last night, which I've just finished watching. I believe you've seen this as well, Matt. And I thought he was a little bit restrained, really. He didn't seem to be really berserker rogue as I was hoping he was going to be. But I do think he won the debate overall just by looking at the cheers from the audience that he was getting. I can't recall Clinton getting any cheers. But really what I found that came across the debate was how horrific Hillary Clinton is and what a liar she is. The lies she was coming out with, it's like butter wouldn't melt in her mouth, and yet she's got control of the media. She's got all these women coming out making these bizarre allegations against Donald Trump. She's got every newspaper behind her. She's even got the British government to cut the internet to the embassy where Julian Assange is to try and stop these WikiLeaks. They've cut the funding to Russia Today, I guess in the hopes that they're going to stop promoting these WikiLeaks that are against Clinton. And it's so obvious that she's in control of everything, even in control of these polls that they keep bringing out. Because apparently, according to Dr. Johnson, he hasn't even seen a Clinton sign in anyone's garden. It's all Trump signs. And I haven't just heard that from him. So we're being told all these lies, and yet she's just talking as if none of this matters, as if there isn't this conspiracy to put Hillary Clinton into power. So that was the first thing that really struck me, was the fact that she was just lying so much. And the second thing was to do with the first topic that was talked about, which was abortion. And I was so shocked. I couldn't believe what I was actually hearing. When she said that it was intrusive, if the state actually stepped in to stop a mother from murdering their baby, if it was 9 months in the womb, pulling the baby out and killing it, that would be intrusive and illegal for the state to step in and stop her. I just thought, this is just unbelievable. She wants women to be able to murder their own babies, real babies, 9 month old babies, and the state shouldn't even be intervening. And this shouldn't even be against the law. I couldn't believe it. I just thought, you know, this has gone too far. They want women to be equal to men, that would be fair enough, but men aren't allowed to murder children and get away with it. And that's what she's actually asking for, let alone this equal pay, which means women get paid whether they're at work or not. It means they can take a year off to bring a child up and still expect to get full pay, because that's the only reason why they don't get the same pay as us. It's averaged out over a whole lifetime. But this abortion thing, I just found absolutely shocking, Matt. I don't know what your opinions were on any of the debate last night, and the abortion particularly.
Well, the abortion thread in the debate, it's a very serious matter. It really is. But I couldn't stop laughing at just how over-the-top absurd it was. Like, first of all, if you remember, actually, before the abortion thing, they were going on about gun control. And Hillary was talking about the epidemic of several dozen toddlers in a country with 320 million people have been, have managed to get a hold of a gun and shoot themselves or somebody, right? And that just breaks her heart that these babies are going around shooting people. And then, you know, in the abortion, she kept talking about how, like, well, you have to have partial birth abortions because what about the danger to the life of the mother? And then it dawned on me, she's worried about the babies actually shooting the mom, I guess. I don't...
Possibly. I mean, more than that as well, at the end, when she was asked to sum up why people should vote for her within 1 minute, she said, because I stand for the family. I stand for the family. She wants to murder any chances people have of having a family. I mean, it's just the hypocrisy is incredible. She looks like she really believes what she's saying, and yet it's all lies.
On the abortion thing, it was like dead babies. On the immigration thing, she was like dead babies. It was like her on the gun thing. It's like, well, with the gun thing, you can't have guns because you could end up with dead babies. You've got to have open borders and allow all the refugees in, because remember she said why? Because dead babies. But then you actually come up to the actual topic of the millions and millions of dead babies that are being systematically killed on an industrial scale. Then she's like, well, you gotta kill babies industrially and capriciously without any boundaries or rules. But then everything else, you know, forget Detroit, forget downtown Chicago. The most dangerous place for a child to be is in an American woman's womb right now, I'm afraid.
It's shocking. That is so shocking to hear. I know it's bad over here in Britain as well. And when they came out with abortion, they said, oh, there's no way that this will be used for contraception. It will be to save a woman's life, or if a woman gets raped. And what are they saying? That all these millions of babies that get murdered, the mother's lives were at danger or were at risk, or these women were raped? No, they weren't. They're just using it as contraception. They end up getting pregnant and they decide they don't want the child. And a lot of that is because of this stigma that used to be there against any unmarried mothers. They've got rid of all that, and they provide the benefits. For the mothers, if they do have the child, they provide the benefits. So there's no more sort of stigma to that anymore of getting pregnant or getting rid of your child. None of it is there anymore because people just don't seem to have this value for human life anymore.
Well, with the abortion thing, they always come up with these like extreme hypotheticals. You know, rape babies, incest babies, and these bizarre medical situations that don't really make any sense. It's a third trimester a child that is threatening the life of mom somehow, which can happen. You induce an early delivery or have a cesarean, or you know, if the baby ends up being killed in the process of doing what needs to be done, then I don't think anybody really objects to that. But this idea that, like, well, the only way to, you know, solve this medical problem is to kill the baby. But it's always, you know, and you could do the same thing with any law. Like, okay, should bank robbery be illegal if the guy's wife is being held hostage and he has to come up with $10,000 or she gets killed? Should bank robbery be illegal under that circumstance? It's like, bank robbery's got to be illegal. And these asinine, silly-ass hypotheticals, I just get so tired of, because people take them so seriously. It's like, oh, well, we can't make abortion illegal because there are these obscure, less than 1% edge cases, which, you know, I don't know. It's the whole thing's irritating to me, and the normal people I spoke to after the debate, we're also very sort of disgusted with that. I don't think Hillary performed as well in this debate as the mainstream media is assuming.
Well, that's what I was saying at the beginning there. I mean, it doesn't matter what she does. The mainstream media is going to say that, oh, she's getting 99% support in the polls. They are completely behind her. And that's been exposed in the WikiLeaks. And as soon as the WikiLeaks were brought up, she was just bringing up Russia and trying to blame Russia. The actual content of what's been brought out in those WikiLeaks wasn't really mentioned. And yet the content of what's come out from this hacking is all this corruption that Hillary Clinton is involved in. You know, you're coming out with making deals with the FBI to reclassify email documents, making deals with the press so that they give her a first look at what's being said and the questions they're going to be asked her, making deals so that Bernie Sanders never even had a chance, approving of voter fraud or knowing there was voter fraud and saying nothing about it. It was the Obama administration. Now, all this corruption that's been exposed, and all she can say is, oh, it must be Russia, and Russia is trying to interfere with our election. Well, surely what Russia is doing, if it is Russia, I mean, it's just the hackers, but all they've done is expose corruption. They've exposed law breaking on her side. What's more important, her law breaking or the person who brought that to America's attention? You know, it's her crimes that's more important, isn't it?
Well, you know, we're supposed to be super offended by the hypothetical possibility that Russia exposed clear, naked corruption in our political system. We're supposed to be mad at Russia, right? But we're not supposed to be mad about Saudi Arabia, Mexico, and most importantly, Israel meddling in our political process for decades. You know, nobody bats an eye when Sheldon Adelson openly says, you know, I'm going to give $100 million to the first candidate who's the most pro-Israel. And that's just part of our political process. I don't know how that's not meddling. Like, this idea that, oh my goodness, a foreign country it has a stake in our election and is would prefer one outcome over the other. Where have these people been with the Israel lobby, with the Mexican who now owns the New York Times, pushing the pro-Mexican agenda through the New York Times and through Hillary's campaign, obviously. And we're supposed to ignore all that, but just be horrified. It was really funny, you know, she's like, well, you know, Russia hacked that, so you can't talk about it. You know, it's kind of like, if you know, Bob comes to my house and he's like, hey, I saw your wife at the bar with another man. And I'm like, shame on you, Bob. You were supposed to be an Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, why were you even at the bar? Don't tell me that.
Yeah. It's so hypocritical of her. You know, to think that she's committing these crimes, she's pulling the wool over the American population, and somebody's brought that to the American population's attention. And all she wants to do is attack the guy that's done this. I mean, this isn't something that's been said in private that is a bit of gossip. It's illegality. It's breaking the law that she's been exposed for doing. And she says, well, 17 different federal agencies have said that it's Russia. But 17 different federal agencies, are they the ones that are all allied with the FBI? The FBI that dropped the 300,000 emails that she willingly destroyed? And said that they weren't going to prosecute her. So these agencies, if they're allied with the FBI, then they're just as corrupt as she is. I mean, that's been proved with the email case. So they're just going to say whatever she wants them to say. It's just exposing the whole administration as being the most corrupt administration that's ever been known, I think. I didn't know that the depths of corruption that are actually going on in the American administration. I knew that there were these lobby groups. I knew that Israel had a lot of control over them. But I had no idea that the banks had so much control over Hillary Clinton with this foundation of hers. And we had back over here in Britain, we had a big scandal of cash for questions. People were paying cash to politicians for them to ask questions in the Houses of Parliament. But Hillary Clinton's been taking cash to sell arms deals to the Saudis and taking cash from all these different special interest groups to then go and argue their case. It just seems to me that nothing more corrupt than that. It's not like one person getting caught with cash for questions. Her whole career has been based upon this. And she's also, you know, a lawyer, which is the lowest of the low, really. I mean, she's just been getting off, you know, people that really should be paying for their crimes. She's been getting them let off. She's so dirty, wicked, and evil. It was hard for me to listen right the way through it just because of the sound of her voice, Matt. You know, I think you can tell I really can't stand the witch. I really cannot stand her. She is just so evil.
Oh, I fully agree. And I really think Trump could end up winning this because There was a harsh reaction right after that tape was released, the pussy grabbing situation. But I think a lot of women who watched last night saw just how small that issue is. Even if you think Donald Trump is a bit of a cad, right? I think a lot of women watching that kind of realized how much Hillary is playing this woman card and trying to sort of have that very small aspect of this election overshadow all this corruption, all of this pay to play, all of this third trimester abortion horror, all the problems with Hillary's candidacy. And she just kind of wants to, you know, cry and be like, Trump is mean to women. He called a woman fat one time. And you know, they're being played. Whether they wake up or not in time for the election, we'll have to see. I'm kind of hopeful that they will.
Well, I think she's overacted it with all these women that are coming up and saying, oh, Trump abused me, or Trump assaulted me. I mean, just today, before we started the programme, the BBC had a news flash, breaking news, and it was a live press conference with somebody bringing up some other sexual assault claim. I didn't turn it up because I was watching the debate, trying to finish watching the debate before we made this podcast. But just watching it, I was thinking, not another one. I mean, that's really over-egging the cake, isn't it? I'm sure that anyone that sees that is just gonna think this is so obviously coordinated. This is a coordinated attack on him. This has all been planned out, and it's all to help Hillary. There's nobody else that could be behind it that's organising all these women to suddenly come out of the woodwork and say, Trump assaulted me 15 years ago. I mean, it's got to be absolute nonsense. Why didn't they say something 15 years ago when they could have got some money out of it? Why did they wait and for 15 years until he's running for president?
Well, that's the gutter journalism. I remember watching the debate, and immediately after the debate, all the media, all at once, in perfect unison, were like, everything else in the debate was overshadowed by the fact that Trump won't necessarily concede the election if he suspects corruption. And I thought, of course they would say that the rest of the debate was overshadowed, because he firmly won the debate, both on optics and substance. And then they just want to make it about how he's going to try to steal the election and how he's a conspiracy theorist and all this stuff. He, you know, I am kind of disappointed he walked right into that trap and just, I mean, I don't disagree with what he said, but you know, they were so obviously laying this trap where they could then force him into this false frame, which is what they've done. And it's so stupid. Like, they asked him, you know, do you hereby, you know, promise not to object to the outcome? And he's like, well, we're just going to have to wait and see about that. And that's no different than Al Gore. That's no different than just recently in Austria. All around the world, a part of democracy is like recounting and analyzing the votes, making sure there's no corruption. I mean, that's, if you're genuinely, and they keep talking about how he doesn't respect democracy. Well, if you respect democracy, respecting democracy is about making sure every vote is counted. You know, contesting an election, if you think it was not counted correctly, is an act of respect for democracy. But they act like he's, you know, just, well, they're trying to make it out like he's some sort of maniacal type, because that's all they have is scaring minorities and women about Donald Trump. They don't have, you know, Hillary has no platform. Her entire platform is that Donald Trump is an evil psycho and you've got to vote for Hillary to stop him, you know?
Well, when she says all that, she talks down to the audience as well, doesn't she? She really talks down to them. Sort of as if she's pointing out the naughty boy to the rest of the class, as if she's a teacher at school. Whereas Trump, he seems to be talking to people as if he's on exactly the same level as them. He seems like somebody that, you know, that you would enjoy going out for a drink with. You know, we've seen that from his locker room banter. You know, he's just one of the lads. But at the same time, he's an incredibly powerful billionaire, yet he still seems to be down to earth. And yet Hillary is very much them and us. She's very much looking down at people and what can I get away with saying? What lies can I get away with? And that point at the end there, when they were trying to make out that he would refuse to accept if he lost fair and square. This is the clip that they keep playing over here on the BBC and saying, oh, he's saying that he's going to refuse to back down if he loses. And I did think he could have made more of a point of the fact that, you know, you cannot say now whether he will accept it or not, because he doesn't know whether there's going to be instances of voter fraud. He doesn't know if there's been instances of voter fraud before, which we can tell from what Hillary Clinton said in the WikiLeaks. It said that there was voter fraud for Obama. As you said, you know that we've had these problems with Al Gore. So we know that there might be instances of voter fraud. And there's also been instances of voter intimidation. I mean, Dr. Johnson has brought this up all the way through the campaign. The Trump supporters have been intimidated by the left. And it's been exposed that Hillary Clinton's mob have been coordinating this. They've been deliberately acting as agent provocateurs to provoke Trump supporters into attacking them. And most of the time, they've done the violent attacking first. And then as soon as the Trump supporters have defended themselves, they've accused Trump of stirring up violence. So we have WikiLeaks evidence showing that Clinton has been coordinating these attacks to try and, you know, to intimidate the voters, basically, which is completely illegal. We've heard of people that have been too frightened to go and hear Trump speak because they're worried that they're going to be attacked by these leftist thugs. So how can that be an honest and fair campaign if the voters have been intimidated into going to actually hear the candidate speak? So if he does lose, then he could be taking them to court for voter intimidation for a start, and saying that this makes the result null and void, wouldn't you say?
Oh, he's got to leave all his options open, especially with the entire military-industrial complex, the global finance apparatchiks, and the Western media, all dropping any pretense, I mean, of respect for the outcome of this election, and they don't. They you know, whether it's the Facebook trending or Google News or, you know, Twitter's moments, all of these outlets we have relied on for sort of objective news have all been blatantly rigged. And, you know, people keep talking about rigging at the ballot box, but there's much before the ballot box. I don't know how much they'll manage to rig at the actual ballot box. I'm sure if they can, they will. But, you know, this entire election has been such a startling reminder of just how capricious and maniacal the global elites are.
Well, they'll do as much rigging of it as they possibly can. And I'm sure that they'll be doing that with the postal votes. They'll be rigging the machines. And we've already heard that how easy it is to actually get into these voting machines. I believe that hackers were doing that a while back. So whatever way that they can use to rig the vote, they will. We know that these people have done this before. They've already done this in Austria once this year. I mean, this is the other thing. We've got another election coming up in November as well, which in Austria with Norbert Hofer, which will be interesting to see. But what is just a gauge of the people around you and the people that you speak to, Matt? What would you say their opinions were? Who are they most likely to be supporting in the people that you've spoken to? Because I know Dr. Johnson says that all the people that he's seen just seem to be massive support for Donald Trump. What would you say?
Well, I'm big on self-punishment, and I believe, you know, because with my blogging and with everything, I really feel like I have an obligation to go out of my way to stay out of my echo chamber as much as possible. I mean, obviously, everybody who's still friends with me on Facebook is a huge Trump supporter, and the only people I you know, politically work with who are opposed to Trump or just opposed to Trump because he's too mainstream. He's not, you know, ready to throw Jews in the oven, you know. But I also go to the liberal news blogs regularly. I go to the quote unquote, you know, mainstream news blog. I try to talk to like family members and friends who aren't in these circles. And I really get the feeling that they're nervous about whether Trump has the temperament, but they even normal folks dislike Hillary and would rather her not be president. You know, they have been pumped full of all these things about how Donald Trump is just running around raping women, how he's going to just run around reinstituting slavery. That was actually a mainstream news article. Was like, if Trump wins, we could be on the road to reinstituting slavery. That's scaring people. That's absurd to propose that that's a mainstream media article rather than just some sad blog post off in the corner of the internet. But I think a lot of people are seeing through it, and I still think he's going to win. I really do. I think the media has intimidated people to the point where they're telling them what they want to hear on the phone. I think a lot of new voters are showing up that their historical models that they use for weighting these polling methodologies, I think they're not ready. You know, I mean, if you flip, like, how many new black voters showed up for Obama because he's black, if you kind of flip that around and have a surge of working class white voters, you know, for Trump, and then have the black vote go back down to pre-Obama levels, I don't think they're calculating all these things into their methodologies. And I think if you look at like Nate Silver's 538 blog, I think it's curious that the prediction markets and Nate Silver's 538 blog are more bullish on Trump than the media. I mean, the media is publishing all these articles like, it's over. Why is Donald Trump even trying anymore? Experts agree that Donald Trump can't win, might as well not even vote. But if you look at the prediction markets, it's like 1 in 5. And Nate Silver is actually ahead of the prediction markets, and you know, he digs pretty deep into the data. I don't think it's nearly as settled. I think this is a race that's still too close to call.
Well, I mean, when the Brexit vote came around and people were saying that we were definitely going to be staying in the EU, I thought, well, this is strange, because everybody that I speak to, and not just within my circle of friends, but everybody that I've spoken to and asked about it, they all seem to want to be leaving the EU. And that's a pretty good cross-section, because it was literally everybody that I spoke to about it. So if a similar thing like that is happening over there, and you're pretty confident that he's going to win, I think there are a really good chance that he is going to win. I mean, I've thought all along that he has a really good chance of winning. And with all these attacks on him in the media, so many of them, and they've now got so ludicrous, they're really scraping the bottom of the barrel by coming out with all these women saying that he groped her years ago. I think that is going to push people towards voting for him rather than voting for Clinton, because I think people are going to see that the media has got an axe to grind here. And it's not just the media in America, it's the media all around the world. So it shows you that Clinton is the globalist choice, because the entire global media is supporting her, apart from Russia Today over in Russia, who have actually been balanced about this. I mean, they have they've told you the things that aren't so good about Trump, and they've told you the things that aren't so good about Hillary Clinton. They haven't promoted Trump in any way. They've been poking fun at him and mocking him. But at the same time, they've been poking fun at Hillary Clinton and mocking her as well. Another part that came up was this Mosul and this fighting in Mosul, and how the Obama administration had given them all this warning that they weren't even going to go in there for 3 months to allow them to actually get out from Mosul. And I know that he was knocking Hillary Clinton for that, but I think one of the things that he missed, that he should have brought up, is that all the ISIS fighters will then have actually been leaving Mosul and heading straight into Syria, which I think is sort of what they were really planning on doing, the Obama administration. I think they wanted to send the fighters from Mosul into Syria so that they would then be fighting against Bashar al-Assad. And then, of course, they can say, well, we need to bring in this no-fly zone as well, which is just going to cause a war with Russia. I mean, right there at the end, she was saying, well, I want to have a no-fly zone. And what that means is shooting down Russian planes.
Why would you have a no-fly zone when the only major actor in this struggle doesn't have an air force?
Yeah, the one you're fighting against doesn't have an air force.
ISIS doesn't have an air force. Who's this aimed at, you know?
such a good point. That's such a good point to make. You know, and that's the sort of thing he should have been saying. I did think that.
Well, he said point blank that Hillary created ISIS, and she just stood there with her toothy grin, and she couldn't argue that, because she did, in her tenure as Secretary of State, created ISIS, and her only response is that, like, well, Donald stays up too late, and he called a woman fat on Twitter.
That's the level, isn't it? That's the level that it's degenerated to. So once again, Donald Trump has won the debate, and hopefully he's going to win the election on November the 8th. And all our listeners are going to be going out there and voting for him. But I just want to encourage everyone that is listening in America to carry on encouraging everyone, you know, to go out there and vote for Donald Trump. Because if Donald doesn't win, then, you know, it's the whole world that's going to suffer. It really is the whole world that's going to suffer. Britain's going to suffer from trade deals if Donald Trump isn't in. Russia and America could end up being at war. You could end up with all sorts of trouble. You're going to end up with free speech being taken away in America. You're going to end up with your guns being taken away in America. And if free speech gets taken away in America, then it gets taken away from the rest of us, because it's only through American outlets so that we can say a lot of the things that we want to say and criticize the people that we want to criticize. So it really, you know, the whole world is praying and hoping that Donald Trump is going to win. And we're relying on you, Matt, and your American patriots over there to ensure that he does win. So anyway, that brings us pretty much to the end of the podcast. And I'll say Matthew Heimbach did get back, but he was unable to get a connection good enough to actually join the podcast. And I'm hoping he's going to have a pre-recorded one for you all to listen to tomorrow. So until then, I'll say thanks for coming on, Matt. And thank you very much, listeners, for listening. And we'll be back tomorrow. So until then, hail victory.
You've been tuned into The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at RadioArea.com.